Amen. I want to pray for our kids and have them head off to kids' time this morning. Their theme is really teaching them dependence. Who's? Have we got someone to carry the? Oh, awesome! Come on up. Yeah, absolutely. Do you know how? Has your dad taught you how to handle one of these? This is groundbreaking technology right here. All right. Okay, so our theme today is God feeds us. God takes care of us. Manna and quail is what you guys are going to hear about today, Carter. You're going to hear about how God is faithful. And it's not just that God's faithful, but we have to be in that place of trust, right? It's this amazing partnership. And so, anyway, I hope you guys have an awesome time in Kids Quest. Can I pray for you guys? All right. God, we thank you for these young lives. We thank you for the chance that they have to dig in to your word. And we just pray that it would be a day of amazing discovery, amazing new insights into what it means. Not just that you're off there being faithful, but that we're here engaging with you, God, in taking advantage as your sons and daughters of the privileges of what it means to be in your kingdom, to be part of your family. So we pray your blessing on the kids, blessing on those that lead them today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll let the kids head out with their teachers, and you can take that with you. Yeah. Very good. I don't know what your week's been like, but there's a few things that have accumulated on my little list here to pray about today, some significant things. And I just want to lead us in a little bit of a prayer time. And then we're going to be sharing with you today as a leadership team. Nathan, I promise I'm going to try not to do too much talking. But I'm really excited about this opportunity. But first, I just want to lead us in prayer about some needs that are around us. And would you, even though I'm the one praying, would you join me in prayer? God, we just want to thank you for all your goodness, and I want to thank you for the way you take care of us. God, I pray that you would help us to be amazed with how often and how continually things go well in our bodies, but some are experiencing challenges in their health, and we really want to pray for a full recovery. We thank you for the surgery and the care that Brent Presper's had this week. And we think of Darlene Unruh. She's been under care a lot lately. And we just thank you for the way you're answering prayer for recovery. God, just help us in our places of need. For those that have been hurting emotionally, we know that some are continuing to process various losses that are significant. And God, we thank you that you walk with us in those places. Some are needing direction. Some of us are just needing you to keep reminding us what we already know, but we need that reminder that you have placed us, you have guided us, and we need to be content where you've placed us and working and serving as you have led us. Thank you for bringing this amazing body together. Thank you, Lord, for on Lana and I's part, for what an amazing new family we've come into just not too many months ago, but it's been such a blessing and encouragement to us. We thank you, Lord, for our community. We want to see really cool relationships initiated through the Trunk or Treat. We pray it would be a safe place. We pray, Lord, that where we are there at Albion School, we pray on Halloween night that would be a place where there is a sense of your light. And as words of encouragement are shared, as we meet people, as we present ourselves in friendship and care to our community, Lord, we want to be your light in our community. And we especially pray this morning, Lord, for our new mayor, Mike Morden. We pray for our new counselors, Duick, Robson, Midas, Yusuf, Svensson, Duncan. God, we pray that you would have your blessing in our community through our leadership. God, we pray for a sense of unity and purpose, that there would be wisdom, that there would be decisions that are right. And we do pray that there would be a calm and a peace in our community so that the gospel can flourish, just as you've asked us to pray in your word. So we ask, Lord, that you'd bless our time of sharing this morning. And we just ask that you would be our lead and teacher and guide through all that's shared. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite Nathan Chapin to come up. And Nathan is our chair of our lead team. And there is a few that we better. Okay, yours has the lid. Good. There's a few things that kind of circumstances that collided this week that made it just work out wonderfully. To have this kind of sharing today. We're going to have a testimony included, and so we're taking a break from our series, the I Am You Are series, and you know, I really. I guess I just want you to know that this wasn't, Pastor Brent was sick, so he found some, you know, unwilling participants. This was our lead team saying, we need to share with our congregation, and it just fit perfectly with me being out of commission this week a little bit. But I was going to call it a State of the Union. I don't know if that's a good term, but I think of it as a time of encouragement where we're sharing what God is doing, and we want you to be encouraged and engaged in what is happening at our church. The verses that God put on my heart for this come from Psalm 31, and I'll just share the first three verses. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, or really today we want to say, since you are our rock and our fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide us. And, you know, what does that look like on a leadership team? I've been on a number of boards, and often we struggle with that notion. How do we together understand what God's direction is for us? Well, we're going to try something very practically. We're going to, as a lead team, be looking through this book. It's entitled Pursuing God's Will Together, a Discernment Practice for Leadership Groups. We're not just your lead team to give our opinions, right? But collectively, we're trying to hear what is God saying to us. And so some of what we're going to share with you today will be a little sense of how we're hearing God, how we see the way forward, and some encouragements for you. So I'm going to turn it over to Nathan.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to reassure you that I am not going to be preaching a sermon this morning. That is not what is going to happen here. I am the current chair of our board. I'm honored to be so. And we are excited to be where we are. And I want to outline a little bit as far as why. First of all, we want to introduce ourselves to you. So I'm going to give you a brief background on me and why I'm excited to be here. And then I'm going to call up our other members. So I joined this church when this church first started. I was there on the first Sunday as a young 20-somethings man, and I was mentored by a few couples in the church that had a very large impact on me. I was married in 2005, and then very shortly after that found myself serving on our leadership team, where I've been kind of on and off since then. And I've seen a lot of things from that first Sunday to where we are now. So we started off, it's always exciting, new church, and everyone who was excited, you know, people go find different things to be excited about. But what happened was I saw lives changed. We saw youth come to Christ. We saw families reached. We've seen a very large number of people changed and seeking God more and supporting each other and coming together. And it's this family that I've seen grow. Now, that doesn't mean that all the times were good and that all the times were bad. It's up and it's down. And one of the things that I've noticed is it's really easy to trust in God when everything is good. And it's when we have to look to Him, to seek Him, really that we grow and really that we see His provision and His ability to provide for us and to fulfill His will through us, through His church. And so that's as far as what I've seen in this church. Lots of very, very good things. Very, very good things. Lots of very good people. And lots of good relationships. So that's enough about me and what I've seen. What I'd like to do is bring up Stephen Malacco. Stephen is our vice chair. Happens to be a member of one of those couples that mentored me quite a bit a while ago. But Stephen?
A while ago. So I, too, my wife and I were one of the people that were here very first Sunday, way back 2002. And Nathan said, oh, say something about yourself. And I was like, wow, what do I say? But my wife and I, this last Monday, just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. I thought that was very cool. What's even more cool is when we were up in Whistler, and we were telling the guys, it's like, oh, yeah, we're here for our 30th wedding anniversary. He looked and said, you don't look old enough. I like that, too. We have three grandkids. Oh, left out. I have two children, both married. You know, when you're an empty nester, you kind of almost forget what it was like. But the three grandkids keep us busy. And if you ever look at a Sunday and you don't see me from the month of March to October, it's usually because I'm racing my dirt bike. I've had the privilege of leading a Bible study in this church for almost since I've been here, and it is awesome to get that close, intimate prayer time instead of just here Sundays. So I'd like to invite you, if you're not a part of a Bible study, a home group, you know, come see me, come see Brent. Like it adds so much to our lives to have that opportunity. There you go.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, just hang out for a little bit. Next, we're going to bring up Candace. Candace is our secretary. She does a very good job.
Hi. I'm Candace. Just a bit about me is I guess I'm coming up on 10 years at Cornerstone. Worn a lot of different hats. I've led the children's ministry for a while, been really involved in youth, and now this is kind of where I fit. So that's, I've just been really, I was one of those youth that he was talking about that had their lives transformed by being here. So I'm very grateful for that.
Thank you, Candace. And I guess we'll go alphabetical order next. Brent Presber, member at large.
I missed the leadership team meeting, so this is I gotta just tell them a little about myself. I like long walks. In the rain. I also, one of the originators, I guess. I don't know if I was there the first Sunday, but I was definitely there the first few. Been a part of this church since then, and like Nathan, I've seen ebbs and flows and highs and lows, but this church is one of those churches that just keeps on loving people, irregardless of where we're at or how many are sitting in chairs. It's just one of those churches that has been a pleasure to be a part of. And you make some great relationships here and some great friends, and I'm really happy to be a part of it.
Thank you, Brent. Last but not least, we have Mr. Sean Owen.
Thanks. My name is Sean Owen. Been here since, I think, 2014. So not an incredibly long amount of time like these people. My wife and two kids, we came here looking for a place to worship, and we were warmly welcomed by this congregation. So we've traveled around like the Israelites in the wasteland. but it's been good. It's been neat to see the different challenges the church has faced and faced them together with Christ at the center. I could join the leadership team two or three years ago. And that's been a whole other kind of look at how the church operates, and it's been encouraging to see the people that make up that team and are continually seeking God's guidance. So it's been good. Do you want me to keep going? Or, yeah?
Do you want to keep going?
Well, I got a lot of material I prepared.
Okay. So as far as why we're excited to be where we are and representing you, is we are excited to seek God's will and see where he wants us and our church to go, and where we can make an impact in people's lives, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. One of the things that we've been working on with Pastor Brent is a new ministry direction and a new mission statement, and that, you know, it's a fair reminder of why we're here. It's very important for everybody to understand and realize that we're not here to come on Sunday. None of us are. We're here to serve God, plain and simple. And we want that for everybody in this church. So we want to remind you why we're here. It's not just Sunday mornings. It's our lives. It's your lives. I think I maybe went a little bit out of order there, but that's okay. Just a quick note, you guys, many of you helped with the update of our constitution and bylaws for BC Societies Act. That has been done and filed, and it is all good, which makes me very happy. Just so you're aware that was seen through, and it looks like I wasn't actually out of order very much at all. So I'm going to give this over to Brent. This is this is the new ministry direction that we have. So what I'm going to ask is the leadership team members behind me here to just maybe pass this out and have you pass them along so that you can see it. And Pastor Brent is going to speak to it while they do that.
Yeah, well, we're going to have the team pass this out to you. And one of the things that we have done is we've called this a ministry direction, because we're trying to put into context. If you go on our website, you'll see the full document. You've got just a summary document of sort of the main highlights. But what you'll see first in the main document is a sense of our calling. I think it'd be interesting to know how many people recognize this on the screen. Okay? So that gives us a sense of, you know, there's a number of us here who know that origin, you know, that heritage. But one of the things we want to stress on our sense of calling is we're called into this vital relationship with Jesus, but there's a context for us, and it's here in the larger Albion area. And then another thing that we have for you is our vision. And so our vision is looking down the road and saying, you know, by God's grace and with a sense of what he's saying to us, what do we see ourselves being? And you see a summary of that on your sheet. We see a church of influence in Albion so unique that it cannot be ignored. so passionate that it will not be confined to a single congregation or community, transforming people's lives by the power of God. We see a church that believes that our best days are ahead. And I would encourage you to go online and look through our ministry direction document, because we've got a number of statements that flow out of that summary. The next aspect of our ministry direction is our purposes. And we've used this visual, or I started using this visual to kind of represent the idea that we want to have a holistic ministry. We really find this right at the very beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2. They met together to worship, to instruct, to evangelize. And we've used these terms to describe those core aspects of church purpose. We've used that because it fits nicely into the word whole. And so that's what you've got outlined for you on your summary in front of you. You see worship, homes, outreach, learning there, and equipping. The next aspect is the aspect of our values. Now, I personally, I don't know how many here are quite visual learners. I love visual to learn things by pictures, right? Skip all the written directions. Go right to the diagram. That's me. For me, this kind of expresses our three sort of core values. And right at the center is this idea that we're absolutely dependent upon God. You know, you remember the verse from John chapter 15? Jesus said it. I don't know if he could have made it any more clear. Without me, you can do nothing. Absolutely dependent upon God. And then flowing out from there, like ripples of a pool, is our worship to him, is the way we engage with one another in relationship, home groups and so forth, outreach, learning, equipping, and it emanates out from there. And it's all set in a very, very essential context. And it's two commands, amazing commands from Scripture, that we're to love one another and that we're to make disciples of all nations. Those set for us the context. So when we're doing outreach, it's not just outreach that is seeking to multiply more disciples. It's our worship is seeking to multiply more disciples, right? In our home groups, in all of the things that we're doing, it's set in that context. So maybe visually, that will help you see what we're believing God wants us to do. And then we also have, an explanation for you there with words as well. And then this has led us as a leadership team to say, okay, these are the pieces that we've pulled together. Not a lot of this is new, vision or new information. We've just been sort of putting it together in a package. But we have concluded that we should have a statement that brings us to a summary. I'm just going to read what you have in front of you. The mission of Cornerstone Neighborhood Church is focused on three aspirations: to be passionate followers of Jesus, to be an authentic community of faith, and to extend God's grace by disciple-making. And so as a result, we believe our mission is, as you see before you, and I'm going to invite you to say it with me, just so we can all be doing it collectively. Cornerstone is called to impact our world by living and sharing the life of Jesus. And I've been talking to the leadership team about there's quite a technical pastoral test that we use for mission statements. And the way you do it is you take a napkin and you see if you can remember it in a coffee shop and write it on the napkin, right? I call it the napkin test. So if you were having coffee with someone and they were saying, oh, I've heard you go to Cornerstone Church, what's that all about? And do you think that perhaps you could say, well, we want to make an impact, and you write that on the napkin. Well, how do we make an impact? By living and sharing the life of Jesus. That's our mission. Now, as you can see, there's a lot that goes into that. But that is something that you're going to be hearing a lot. You're going to be seeing that summary statement as an expression of what we believe God has for us as our mission. More detail on the website, but these sheets will be available at the info center, and you'll be seeing more and hearing more about that as we go forward. We do want to have this attitude of trust and dependence. And so another verse comes to mind, another couple of verses comes to mind from Psalm 31. Let me read those for us. Verses 14 to 16. I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. You know, we heard several of the folks on the team share about how there was highs and lows of our church life, but God was working through it all, right? My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. And what we're longing for, I hope that's your longing, but as a lead team, I think we're really longing for God's unfailing love, his loyal love, so that we can continue to serve him the way he wants us to. Okay, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Nathan.
Okay, so we are called to invest. Invest in our own lives, invest in our church, invest of our time, our abilities, our talents. And that's an exciting thing because God is the one that gave us all of those things. So in September 23rd, for those of you who were there, we had a special business meeting for the approval of those documents I spoke about before. Won't bore you with that. But what we did do is we gave everybody a brief financial update. And it was mentioned by people that were there that they wanted monthly, not quarterly. So that's in your bulletins right now. If you look on the back page, a year-to-date update on our quarterly financials. And I would just like to give you that update as well. So following the announcement, we did have a slight increase in giving for the month of September, which is good. It's really, really positive. We don't want to see the ability of our church to do ministry and effectively reach out be impacted by this. So if you turn in the back of your bulletin, and I don't actually have a bulletin here, but I believe year to date for our, yes. So year to date, our budget has been below our giving by about $17,000. Now, where's that money come from? We had a surplus from previous years where people have been very generous. And so that is where we are sitting right now. And we trust in God to bring us through. And as I said before, it's times where we need to rely on God that we truly grow and we truly experience him and what he can do for us. And I'm not just talking about this. I know that's forefront on everyone's minds right now, but we're talking about God. We're talking about our lives, whatever it is in your life. If you are struggling with things, lean on him, rely on him, tell people here about it. You would be surprised the support you would get from the people here, even if you don't even know them. Reach out. Okay. So following the service, our treasurer will be here a little bit later. She's not here right now. She's going to have, for those of you, if you want an actual detailed printout, we will have that available. And if you have any questions at all about anything, I really strongly encourage you to please talk with myself, any member of the leadership team, or our treasurer, Darlene. You'll see her at the end of the service. Thank you. Best Brent. Oh, yeah. Stephen, we're going to ask you back up here, please. And Stephen is going to talk about building a little bit here. So for those of you who don't know, we were in this building for years before, and then we changed locations. We were gone for a while. While we were here before, all of the changes that you see, the coffee room, the paneling along the walls, all the paint, all the classrooms being made nice was done by people here and was led by this man here. So he is in dialogue right now with the building owner, and he just wants to talk about some opportunities that we might have to make this space better for us.
Yeah. So just let me get a show of hands. How many of you were here our previous time when we were here back? Okay, great. So now all those people that didn't have your hands up, you can go and ask after service, what did this place really look like? Oh, you got pictures. Cool. It was so fun doing our little church work bees. I know some people, they think of work as, oh. But it was really neat to come together and see this building get transformed. Now, at this time, it's a little different because we have new owners. And I had the privilege of spending, you know, a couple hours with him and walking through and talking about what he wanted, what he was envisioning, what we wanted. And the one thing that he said to me is, I just don't have the manpower. And I looked at him and he said, like, I got the manpower. You got the money? We got the manpower. So I think it's really going to work out great. Because you look around, in our absence, since we left this building, there's been a lot of things, a lot of changes. Never used to be that way. If you look behind our lovely curtain. So we want to put this back. We want to make this nice, and we're currently working. I am putting a budget together so we can get the money from the owners. And then that's where we look and say, like, hey, we can have more fun together. So if you're interested in joining us in our work bees, the date will be announced because we still got to get the approval and the money from the owners. But, you know, it'll probably be like a Friday evening or an all-day Saturday thing. So I encourage you, just come and talk to me. Just let me know, hey, I want to be part. All right? And once we get this place kind of fixed up and, you know, the back wall, then we'll be kind of looking at doing, you know, some other things and getting some storage. But really, this is the first place. And I don't know how many of you people love this floor. The yellow brick road doesn't even lead. Well, I guess it leads to the band now. So, but anyways, just, you know, pray about it, think about it, and just let me know if you want to be part of the team that puts our sanctuary back. So,
thanks very much, Stephen. So there's other ways to help and invest and be involved. Even on Sunday mornings, all of what you see in the room here has to be set up. So Marcus, do you mind standing and waving? Das ist gut, Marcus. Danke. Marcus is our team leader for setup. So if that's something you'd like to help with, please speak with him. In case you're wondering where we've been introducing the team, and we talked a little bit about where we're headed, talked about an invitation to invest, and we also want to share with you a story today, or in fact, I'm going to ask David to share his story. David Epp, come on, David, and I want to talk about how God provides. For me personally, I was a little bit in a panic in the springtime because having newly arrived and thought, awesome, we've got a worship leader in at that time, Josh Lim, and I was really appreciating getting to know him and working with him. And then it got more apparent that he felt God was leading him on, and I thought, oh no, I can't preach and lead worship. That's not gonna go well. I was amazed over the summer with our team as they stepped up and took part, and we met in the summer and talked about how God seemed to be providing, and then things came together, and as you see, he's real, he's right here. God provided someone to be our worship team leader. It's kind of loose there. But at any rate, I just thought it would be cool for David, and I was thinking of a Sunday when it, you know, this fall when we could have David tell a little bit more about his story and just how God has led in his life. So I'm going to let him do that. And I thought today was a great time to tell a story of how God provides.
Thank you. You on? Good. Yeah, nice and short notice, but that's okay. I want to share with you a few major things that have kind of shaped who I am today, as well as part of my journey in getting here. And yeah, but I just want to be clear that, yeah, it's all been for God's direction and in God's provision that he has brought me to this point in time. So I just want to first and foremost give the glory to him. So I'm from a small little rural town called Hazar in Alberta. This is what it looked like when I grew up. It doesn't look like that anymore. Those have all been demolished except for one on the very far end. But this is my hometown. About 150 people. Nice and small. If you go from Calgary, go straight east 60 miles, you will find Hazar. In about half an hour south of Drumheller. I grew up in a Christian family. I've got two younger brothers. So I grew up going to church, going to youth group. Kind of some of the bigger things was, even though I grew up in a Christian family, my parents didn't really seem to live out a wholehearted faith for Jesus. And I kind of noticed that. There was a lot of fighting between my parents at home. I also lived on our farmyard. My grandma also lived in another separate house. So I spent a lot of time at her house, kind of worried that my parents were going to get a divorce. I had this big fear. So I kind of grew up in that with a lot of fighting, a lot of arguing, and a lot of frustration, and a lot of hurt. After high school, I moved to Lethbridge, and it was there where I kind of found belonging in a church, really for myself for the first time. And so I made my way to College Drive, where Brent was preaching at the time. And it was there during that first year out of high school where my faith really began to be shaped and to be made my own. We worked through a book called Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. And it kind of showed me what it meant to be a follower of Jesus rather than just saying, I'm a Christian, and just kind of sitting there cheering on God. And out of this whole thing, I guess during this time, my parents actually ended up getting separated while I had my first year out of school. First year out in Lethbridge. So my parents got separated, eventually got divorced. There was a lot of time, a lot of frustration in my own heart with my mom. Very painful time even for my dad especially. But God had kind of showed me through this book, through this time of growing in my faith, that I could trust him, that I could lean in him, that despite whatever the outcome was, it was still going to be okay. God eventually, through all of that, he brought me to work out at camp. I was looking at becoming an automotive mechanic, but God said otherwise, and brought me to work at Blue Bronco Wilderness Camp, where I spent about 5 years as a program director and a site director, taking people up into the mountains of Alberta and just riding horses. It's so much nicer than hiking. You get to cover some pretty cool ground. So that's me in the nice yellow, bright yellow slicker there, standing like a sore thumb. So I spent a lot of time growing there in leadership, learning what it is to, lead in ministry. Out of that, I ended up going to Bible school for 2 years at Peace River Bible Institute in Grand Prairie. And then after that, I eventually made my way to Australia for a winter. So I think the next picture. This is called an echidna, and one of Australia's native animals. And echidna not. I am not hurting the animal, I promise. But he's a little spiky. out of Australia, I found I'd worked at a summer camp down there for their summer. So I ended up working a summer in Alberta, had about 2 days off, moved to Australia for 7 months. It instantly started working at a camp down there, and then flew back here, had about 2 days, and I was back out at camp, Blue Bronco Wilderness Camp. And I found myself becoming just tired. And camp is a very giving ministry, not a lot of time to reflect and to recharge. And so I found that I was coming to a point where, rather than continuing on in camp and eventually burning out and getting frustrated, that God was bringing me to a time of rest and to take a step back and to let some other people lead. And so I left midway through that summer, and I moved back to Lethbridge, where I would find a job driving truck, and I would plug back into College Drive. Through that time, I approached Brent about mentoring me, as I felt myself lacking some discipleship and mentorship. So we started meeting every week, and then eventually Brent and Lana felt called to move on with their life as well. So I found myself out of a mentor. And I was very happy that they didn't move to Monaco, just as much as you guys were. But before all of this had kind of, or during this time, what are the other parts of my life? So apart from divorce, I have eventually actually forgiven my mom. I've worked through a lot of that, and I've forgiven my parents. And I can happily say that I've got a really good relationship with my family. The other part of my life that has been a major part that has affected me through my whole life has been, this is going to get uncomfortable for a lot of you, but that's okay. But I've had over about a decade, I've struggled with an addiction to pornography and masturbation. And this has been a crippling addiction in my life since I was a teenager. It wasn't until probably about the January before that in 2017, where I said, I am done. I have had enough. Through that, I had about 3 months. I knew that I'd tried to get rid of it before. I had never made it past about 4 months of being sober, and I would fall back again. And it was a repeated cycle, and it kept happening. And I knew that I was coming up to April, and I was kind of freaking out inside. And I knew that I was like, you know, there's this one side of me that's saying, you know, I just want to follow Jesus. Like, I don't want this anymore. And just crying out. And this other side saying, David, you're going to give in, and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, we're going to do this because this is what we want. And I went on through Blue Bronco Wilderness Camp. We partnered with an organization called the Fourth Musketeer. That's what this shirt stands for. And so part of that, I wanted to be on crew. What they do is they run a 72-hour men's backpacking challenge. So we were going to run that out at Blue Bronco Wilderness Camp through the mountains. And through that, before I could be on crew, I had to participate in an event itself. So rather than doing it in Alberta, me and one of my best friends and two others, we flew to Scotland and did it there. And so it was us and about 200 other guys out on the trail hiking through the Scottish Highlands, kind of chaotic. But God did an amazing thing. And so if you go to the next picture, eventually towards the end of the trip, they brought us to the top of a mountain. And at this time, during the whole trip, I was like, God, I'm yours to do with whatever you want. Please, you know, like, I don't know what you're going to do with me on this trip, but I'm open to you just changing me however you need to. And I got through most of the trip, and we're getting to the part where before we climbed to the last bit of the top of the cross, they'd gone through what Jesus went through in the Passion, and what he physically went through in being beaten and scourged, and then eventually hung on the cross. And very powerful, very emotional moment. And but I was kind of freaking out. And they told us to, like, pick up a rock, and then as you get to the top, put the rock at the foot of the foot of the cross. You know, but what is that rock representing in your life? What are you going to leave at the foot of the cross? And I was kind of freaking out. So I'm like, God, I've been asking you to give me something this whole trip, and you've given me nothing. Like, what do I do? And he just said, you don't have to be afraid of yourself anymore. I didn't really know what that meant, but I knew it was significant. And so over the course of the next few weeks, I really started to understand that I didn't have to be afraid of my addiction anymore, that God had it, that I left it at the foot of the cross, at this cross, in that pile of rocks on a mountain somewhere in Scotland, and then I don't have to return to it. And I can happily and proudly say that I have been over a year and a half of sobriety in sexual addiction. But through that, it's also given me a passion to share this problem and to help other guys. So I got involved with a recovery group at College Drive. I eventually ended up leading the men's recovery group for about 8 months up until I came out here. And, yeah, so Jesus has really put it on my heart to I guess, form other recovery groups in other places. And just a passion for men's ministry and for families. So eventually, I don't know how that looks or whatever, but, you know, if that's something, especially as a guy that you struggle with, you know, come talk to me, feel free. And I would love to start, you know, developing some kind of community and accountability with that. But my journey in getting here, so apart from that, once Brent and Lana left, Brent's absence needed, there was a hole that needed to be filled at College Drive, and so myself and about six other guys formed a preaching team, or they invited me onto the preaching team, rather, and I kind of dug my toe in the door and didn't let them kick me out. And so I developed this really, this love for preaching, and God gave me this desire to preach, and Brent had been challenging me beforehand to go back to school and get some training of some kind I've always felt this call in my life to become a pastor in some way. So through that, Brent presented to me the Immerse program, which you guys will hear about eventually through the ACT Seminary at Trinity. Which caught my eye. I also had the option of going back to PRBI and finishing my degree there. But with the Immerse program, I also was told, you know, maybe I should come spend some time in the Lower Mainland, get involved in a church, or over the course of this year, and see how it went from there. So I approached about 12 people in my life and in my church, and I had my entire church pray over it for about 2 weeks. And we came together again, the 12 of us, after 2 weeks, and I had them share with me what they felt like God was saying in regards to where I should spend this fall. And although they never said that it was one or the other, everybody had leaned to me coming out here. Now, I have to say, I did not really want to come out here. I really do miss Alberta, and I wasn't really a big fan of moving out to the big city of Abbotsford, or really Vancouver. It's still all Vancouver to me. So, but it was these steps of obedience that, you know, taking that step to go to Lethbridge, you know, to take that rest, to figure out, you know, what did God have in store for me? Because it wasn't, you know, I had thought that I was going to become a camp director full-time, or was shooting for that. And then, you know, do I get a trade? Well, that wasn't turning out. But, you know, God has shown me, well, maybe, you know, it's time to do some schooling. And it's been these little steps of obedience And, you know, and now coming out here, you know, I was already accepted. I was already planning on coming to Columbia before I came out in May to even check your church out. So I was just stepping out in complete faith that that this place was going to be my home this fall. And I am honestly so blessed to call you guys my church family now. I have been so welcomed, and I really appreciate being able to serve you guys and be here at Cornerstone. And the blessings just keep coming, and it's all because of God and because of obedience and following Him. And so, yeah, that is my story up to now.
So I want to pray for David, but I thought maybe just something to express our appreciation to you. And it really racked my brain, and I thought, what is something that we can give you that would really enhance your music ministry here out on the West Coast? So I got this for you. And
it's very bright.
In the, you know, when we got that heavy couple weeks of rain at the end of September there, mid-September, I think we agreed, talking to David, that was the most rain he'd seen all his life. So, but I also made sure I got that so it fits two people when you're walking. So, but let's just bow in prayer. God, we thank you for the way you lead. And I just thank you for David's life. It's just one example. There's so many amazing examples in this room of how you have a plan that's far beyond what we could ever ask, what we could imagine. You do far exceedingly beyond what we could ask or imagine. That's your promise to us. And thank you for delivering in David's life. Thank you for delivering in so many lives here today. And we just trust for good things in David's future and believe that just as you've led him, you will lead us together. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks.
Well, we want to just conclude with prayer. So I'm going to invite Sean. Did Sean go help with the kids? Candace, I'm going to invite you to pray. I need two people to pray. I'm going to come pray. And maybe Nathan, would you come too? I'm just going to share a verse. I think we need to pray in terms of thanksgiving for God, God's faithfulness to us in the past. And then I'm going to ask Nathan to pray in terms of expecting God's goodness in the future. I really think we should have great expectations. It's not just an exciting book, right? It's it really is what we need to be doing. I was personally reading this morning in Galatians chapter 4, and I was just touched by where Paul is telling us, you know, you've been transformed from slavery to sonship, right? What does sonship mean? And I just wrote down, you know, like I can teach that to you. I know that theologically. But do I live like a son? Do I expect God to be my good father and provide and lead and guide us? You know, do I live like a son or a daughter of Jesus? And so let me just read these verses, and I'm going to invite these folks to pray. Psalm 31:19, how abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. And, you know, this was a huge verse in the life of Lana and myself, and at that time just our two boys. And we moved to Mission in 1995, and I didn't want to move to the big city either. So there's no way we're living in Abbotsford. That's too big. And so we moved to Mission so I could go to seminary. I was totally qualified to go to seminary. I had wife, two kids, and no money. And but God was amazing in how He provided for us. So these aren't just, you know, for us, like these aren't just, oh, those, I found some nice words in the concordance, but these are real heartfelt words for me, and I hope for you as well, that God has been so faithful in the past. So I'm just going to ask Candace if she'd lead us in prayer.
God, thank you for the work that you've done in this congregation over the years. Thank you for each time that you provided for us, whether that be financially or with resources and staff and volunteers. I know that when we come before you in faithfulness, that you will bless that. So I thank you for all of these things, for how you continue to provide and how you have in the past, and in your name, amen.
The conclusion of the psalm comes in the verse 23 and 24. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong. Take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. And we need to be obedient, I think, to that command. I think it's a command, even though we've got some gaps in our ministry, youth ministry right now. There's our finances, different aspects. We'll say, oh, those are gaps. And there's some other things that are going really well, and we're excited. The command is simple. Be strong and take heart, because we've got our hope in the Lord. So I'm going to ask Nathan just to close this time in prayer. And thanks to all the lead team for sharing your hearts with us today. And then we'll have a song. Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the victory that we know we can claim through you. We thank you for everything you've done for us already. And looking forward, we can't imagine how it is you can bless us. We can't imagine how you're going to use us to have an impact in your world. And I just pray, God, just that you would blow our minds. And then looking back on this day, we would feel your provision, and we would be obedient, and above all else, we would center ourselves and focus ourselves on you. Amen.